you may recognize that phrase, Terefata. It's in the baptismal liturgy. The ears that we're talking about, of course, it's our physical ears, but it's the ears of our heart, the ears of our spirit. Because if we really hear, then our tongues are untied, and we can really speak. And we can proclaim the reality and the greatness of God. But we have to hear it. We have to receive it first. This text we have in the book of Genesis also speaks about hearing, as you'll see in a minute, with such irony. This is the Word of God's analysis of sin and of its primary effect. Tomorrow's text in Genesis will talk about the other sins, the other effects. The serpent was the most cunning. I mentioned yesterday he's the most arum. They were arumim, they were naked. But then playing on the word, a similar sounding word, arum, he's the most cunning. Of all the beasts which the Lord God made, he's not out of God's control. God made him. And now watch. The translation is pretty good. So the serpent said, so, God told you you can't eat of the trees in the garden. You see the lie? Now, someone who's mature, and neither Eve nor Adam were mature, even though they were graced, would see that and say, this is dark. This is a lie. That's not what God said at all. And who is this to say, uff, in Hebrew, uff, so God said. Spotted right away. Call on the power of God to drive this serpent away. That's not what happens, huh? She decided she's going to explain it to him. We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but all the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, you shall not eat or even touch it. He never said anything about touching it. That's the little law to protect the big law. We really want to sin. So we have all these laws to stop ourselves. Not going to do much good. And then, remember I told you yesterday, this is law. God offered this covenant to Adam. It said, if you eat of this tree, mot tamut, you will die, surely die. She says, lest, God told us, don't eat that, lest you die. There's no lest about it. Do you see how falsehood gets in? Why we're all liars? See, because we want to sin. Until we're so purified that the very thought of it makes us shudder. Now, he flatly contradicts God. You will not die. God said, mot tamut. He says, lo mot tamut. You won't die. No, what's going to happen? God knows. See, God's jealous. He's holding something back on us. We'd get so much further, you know, with our own embryonic research, with our own abortion, with our own whatever, we can do so much better. Because, you see, we've given up that there's a God. We're God. We can make human beings. Not only the old-fashioned way, we can, you know, put them in a test tube. We can do what we want. We're God. No God? Yeah. See, he knows then, you see, that your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God. You will know good and evil. You will do what you want, and you will determine whether it is good or evil. That's the ferocity of the debate downtown over abortion comes down to that. No God is going to tell me what to do. And from that comes all the hatred stirred up by the mistakes in the Iraq war and everything. But it all comes down to that. Am I allowed to kill children in the womb, or am I not? So the woman saw the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eyes, and enticing to make one wise. Power. All knowledge is for power, unless it's for praise. And we have so construed, we have so perverted the very power to know that all knowledge is for power. Machiavelli said this. Hobbes said it. And we buy right into it. Knowledge is for power. If I know more than you do, I got power over you. If I have lots of knowledge, I can have lots of power. So she took of its fruit and ate it. She gave it to her husband at her side. And now, all of Satan's predictions start to come true. The eyes of both of them were opened. That's what was going to happen, right? God knows when you eat of this, your eyes will be open. And they realized they were naked. That unveiled communication is over. Because they've lost that touch with God. That union with God. So they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths from themselves. And now the irony continues. When they heard the sound, it just so happens that in Hebrew the word for sound and the word for voice are the same. Kol. When they heard the kol of God at the breezy time of the day, the man and the wife and his wife hid themselves. Fear. First effect of sin is fear. Fear. And we do our best to overcome that. You know, I've pointed out this psalm before, huh? Psalm 32, which they so aptly put here as our response today. Blessed is the one whose fault is taken away, whose sin is covered, to whom the Lord imputes no guilt, and in whose spirit there is no guile. He's not talking about a virtue. He's talking about the other effect of forgiveness of sin. No guile. We lie all the time, and we're afraid all the time. Because by ourselves, we cannot arrive at that vision of the real nature of our sin and the depth of God's mercy. By ourselves, we cannot do that. That is a pure gift. Pure gift. The beginning of it is repentance, which is a gift of the Holy Spirit. We're helpless now. The perfection of this is this grace that the Lord is beginning to pour out, whereby someone sees the full horror of their sin. It's God we're offending. But we see it through the eyes of the mercy of Jesus. And that heals our fear. Even in this life, it heals our fear. And the perfection of that, that's purgatory. To be able to grieve over our sins because we see what they really are, and we see the mercy, the love, the total acceptance. What we finally do is settle on our own foundations, the truth. And then we don't lie anymore. Now the text goes on tomorrow. The first effect of sin is fear. And then, rather put it the other way around, first effect is shame, then fear. They hear the call of God and they hide. He's going to say, Adam, tomorrow, I heard your voice and I feared. But you see, that's the idea, that's the ideal of any devout man, to hear the voice of God and hold it in reverence. And it just so happens that the expression would be the same. To hear and to fear is the result of the really pious person. You twist it, and what have you got? I heard you coming, and I was scared to death. And what's the difference? Sin. Pius XII, you know, has said, the greatest sin of our age is the lack of the sense of sin. Tomorrow, you'll hear, you see, the rest of the effect of sin, which is what? Domination and connivance in domination. Your longing shall be for your husband, and he will lord it over you. What was this beautiful, beautiful relationship of love, of unveiled communication, of trust, of this broken. And now there's domination and connivance in domination. And the paradigm is man and woman, husband and wife. But it's capital labor. It's occupying forces, occupying land, occupied land. This is what breaks humanity. Drive for power, domination, and then the ones who get dominated, they connive in it for safety's sake. There's no truth. Because if they really speak up in some parts of the world today, they'll be killed. And this text, this gift from God, you see, puts the finger on what's wrong. Oh my gosh. What are we going to do about that? Well, God first gave the Torah to His people to guide them. But that was a glimmer. You know, that was a glimmer. In fact, in some ways, it made it tougher. But then, He gave us His own Son, who died for us, who transformed all that perverse anger, lust, hatred, cruelty of the human heart into an act of love so great that the whole human race was pulled out of it. That's how great it is. The whole human race. Anybody who wants to can get out of this vicious world of fear, shame, lie, oppression, because the oppressed oppress their own way. Vengeance, just accept Jesus Christ and live in His power and in His presence. And because we are in such abominable shape, this grace of seeing my sin for what it's really worth, but seeing it through the eyes of Jesus. Freedom. No more fear. No more shame. It's perfected in heaven, but it begins here. This grace that I'm speaking about is purgatory anticipated. That we can grieve, not because we're frightened, not because we're naked, not because we need self-preservation, but because of the love of Jesus Christ. That's the grace. And my friends, you know, it's given to us every day in this Eucharist.